The all-new Hyundai 2024 Santa Fe is equipped with everything you need to break free from the dull work week and embark on an adventurous weekend with your family. The all-new Hyundai Santa Fe's features like available H-Track all-wheel drive, standard third-row seating, available dual wireless charging pads ensure you can take on any adventure. Available H-Track all-wheel drives so you can take on the dirt trails and kick up some mud. Standard third-row seating so your whole family can experience the thrill together. Available dual wireless charging pads so no one gets stuck in the great outdoors with a dead phone. Whether you're tailgating out in the dirt lot, Carter Finley, shout out Carter Finley, or whether you're whitewater rafting, taking the entire family on an adventurous trip, maybe you're out camping at Mount Rogers. I used to go as a kid. Wish my parents had a Hyundai Santa Fe. The Hyundai Santa Fe is perfect for your family outing. Learn more about the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe at HyundaiUSA.com. Call 562-314-4603 for complete details.
The perfect combination of versatile athleisure and training apparel has arrived. Thanks to the visionary minds of New Balance, Clutch Athletics, and Rich Paul, the designs reflect the heart of the athlete and the spirit of the community. With rising defensive stars Will Anderson and Chase Young on the roster, Clutch Athletics brings the best innovative gear to all athletes, giving them style and performance on and off the field. Learn more and purchase Clutch Athletics at newbalance.com.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to the Pick Six Podcast, CBS NFL Podcast. I'm Katie Mox here with Will Brinson and Brady Quinn. Today, we're answering some burning questions surrounding the league's top quarterbacks and prospects. Make sure you tap on with us all week for more offseason coverage. If you're tuned in on YouTube, hit us with a like button, smash the subscribe. And if you're listening to audio only, show us some love and download, follow, leave a nice review, and of course, tell your friends to listen and watch the pod. Guys, I have the benefit of being on the West Coast this week. However, did either of you watch the Kings and Warriors game last night?
Yeah, of course.
Okay, so the Draymond Green situation with Sabonis. Curious what your thoughts are. My thought on this is, yeah.
I have a question. Where the hell are the air horns?
Oh.
We removed the air horns. What? I don't even know this show anymore.
You don't have it in the budget anymore, right?
Oh, we got rid of air horns.
I made a push for it. Sam Batish said no. He said no more air horns. We don't have it in the budget.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, I guess we'll do it. You know what we need then? It's a Brady Quinn football show. little sad trombone.
Okay. Can we move on now to the Golden State?
Let's get to the basketball. Let's get to the basketball. That's
yes. Right. Anyway, so Draymond Green.
I didn't watch it. I was watching the fish show last night.
More fish.
40-minute tweezer, brah.
What?
Yeah, exactly. If you know, you know.
Like the band Fish?
Yeah, I love the band Fish.
Oh, jeez. All right, Katie, what were you going to ask?
Anyways, I was going to ask what your thoughts were, and I guess Brinson didn't see it, but basically Sabonis grabbed on to Draymond Green's foot. Then Draymond Green stomped on him, and there was a flagrant. He got ejected from the game. So I was curious what you thought of it. I think that obviously Draymond Green was out of line with the way that he responds to the crowd heckling and, you know, saying some choice words to people, getting himself ejected from the game. This isn't the first time that he's done that, but I was just curious kind of whose side you were on.
I don't know that there's sides here. I mean, look, Sabonis got a technical too, since he kind of initiated it. And this has kind of been Draymond Green's history in the playoffs. Look, it's got to be frustrating for Golden State. They've never been down 0-2 in the playoffs with Steve Kerr as their head coach. So I can understand, you know, why he was frustrated. Someone grabbed his leg. The officials did eventually, obviously, again, give Sabonis a technical. But, I mean, to stomp on a dude like that, you got to know you're going to get kicked out at that point. You're right there in the middle of the court. It's hard to miss it. You maybe got a little bit of a history of this. So I don't know that there's sides here so much as I just think you've got a really good series. Sacramento's up 2-0. Golden State's in an unfamiliar spot. And a guy like Draymond, who's, you know, been known to use some of these antics in the past, is, you know, now he's got a little more fuel to the fire, I guess. But I'm excited to see where this series goes.
So Dom in the chat says, pretty sure Will is on the side of Green. Now, I could see why somebody would think that. Noted instigator, troublemaker, antagonist, kind of a some would, you know, I'm not, I can't even say the word. I can't even say the letter the word starts with, but like, I understand that people would associate me with Draymond Green and think that I love Draymond Green. However, I may go full Stephen A. Smith. God, I love his howevers. Here's the thing. While that does make sense and I would be on Draymond Green's side as an instigator, as an antagonist, all of those things, I also have no sympathy for Draymond Green because you are what your reputation says you are. For instance, if podcast starts late, who gets blamed?
Brinson.
Right. Even if I was on time.
Yeah, but you're usually late. Let's be real.
That's my point. Draymond Green got his foot grabbed. May have stomped somebody, may not have stomped somebody. But you know what? You go around stomping people enough and nobody's going to believe you when the wolf is actually there because you've been crying wolf too much, Dre. You want to F around and find out? You F around and find out, Draymond. That's what happens. You stomp somebody.
Can we throw this out, though, because this kind of like it's leading me into because of Draymond Green, who did go out for Michigan State's football team at one point, to bring up a subject that was talked about this past week was, you know, could an NBA player play in the NFL? Could an NFL player play in the NBA? Look, there's been examples, Charlie Ward, there's been some others, right, that have played in the NBA. I'm trying to think, I guess.
Drew Brees.
I'm trying to think of, obviously there's some basketball players who at transitioned to being football players.
Antonio Gates, Tony Gonzalez, notable, of course. True,
that'll play college, right? But Julius Peppers, but not guys who necessarily made it to the pro level. So everyone LeBron says, James.
Billy Bad Takes is on an all-time heater right now. That's Billy's new nickname. Zion could play in the NFL. Zion can't play in the NBA, bro. How is he going to play in the NFL? He can't stay healthy enough to play in the National Basketball Association as a professional basketball player. You think he's just going to waddle over to the NFL and like magically be like an elite level like defensive end or something? Get out of town,
Billy. I think that's my general point is there's no way you can make it 17 games in an NFL season if you can't deal with 82 games in basketball in an era that is not very physical, right? Load management is like the biggest topic right now in the NBA in regards to seeing these stars play and how you go about trying to make them play. So from that standpoint, I don't know that there's the physical toughness. Yeah, they're skilled, obviously great athletes, but there's still a toughness element of it that I think would kind of need to be factored in when we're kind of comparing these two. So if Draymond's an example of that, you know, he did go out for Michigan State football team, didn't look so hot. So there's obviously your examples of players who tried it, didn't work out. I'm not so sure with 17 games they'd be able to last, they'd be able to make it.
I'm one of the OGs of the simulation movement. I believe it was the first to ever build LeBron James in Madden and simulate what a season with LeBron James as a starting tight end for the Cleveland Cavaliers would look like. He caught 32 touchdowns, I think. I was playing with him. I'm an elite Madden player, et cetera, et cetera. Like LeBron James is maybe the one guy that I think you could say, okay, like we're going to put you at tight end. You're going to run like this very simple route in the red zone as split out. And we're going to throw the ball really high in the air. And you're just going to jump ball. Jimmy Graham, another great example of basketball to football. Like you think about these guys, like red zone targets, guys who can out jump everybody else. Mo Alley Cox did it as well. Like that's the easiest transition. Right. If that's the argument for Zion, I mean like stop, but like LeBron, I think you could make the case for, maybe you could say like somebody like, you know, with obscene height and some decent jumping could go in there and just, you know, like how many cornerbacks are going to be able to guard Joel Embiid if he stands in the end zone and, you know, you have a semi-accurate
quarterback. He's got to get there first, though. That's the problem.
Exactly.
And all these cornerbacks are getting bigger and longer. They're 6 foot plus. And I don't know. Look, it's a fair point. That's probably the one position. Obviously, LeBron was my class in high school. Played at St. Vincent, St. Mary. Didn't play his senior year. Played his junior year. And when we got invited down to the U.S. Army All-American game, Tom Lemming, who I think had a role in helping to select that team, he did give him an invite. And in fact, I want to say he invited one of his teammates to, you know, come along on the trip in hopes that maybe LeBron would show up and play in the game, which obviously wasn't, he wasn't being advised that at that point in time. But it was a Sion Cotton, I think it was his name, ended up going to Ohio State, which there's a thought too that maybe he went to Ohio State because they were hoping LeBron would come to Ohio State and be able to play both and all that. So anyway, it's fun to talk about and think about. I don't know. I don't know about 17 games if you can't make it 382 in the NBA.
Billy Bad Takes, you're just proving your reputation, is now at tripling down in the comments and suggesting that Brady, Zion wouldn't be a tight end. He would be a defensive lineman.
Oh, geez.
I mean, this is reached. That's what y'all are missing the point. LOL. No, I don't think you're the ones missing the point here, Billy.
Yeah, Billy, just come on and state your case.
No. Oh, God.
I mean, look, here's the thing. Why is everybody acting like he's got to play wide receiver or tight end, something like that? He's a big boned player. He's a big boned guy. He's been that his whole life. They've actually been trying to have him lose weight instead of put on weight because that's what he naturally does. I think you beef him up a little bit more. Beef him up a little bit more. You put him on the defensive line. He could be a run stuffer for sure, 1,000%.
Have you lost your mind?
All right, since we have Billy Bad Takes on, let's talk about Jalen Hurts getting that contract extension, making him the highest paid player in the NFL, $255 million. Brady, yesterday, Billy said that Jalen Hurts was a top two quarterback, and Brinson and a lot of listeners were quite upset about this. What do you think? Jalen Hurts just behind only Patrick Mahomes.
And that means the entire current crop of NFL quarterbacks, not on the Eagles depth chart, not in the NFC East, not in the NFC, the entire NFL. Just to clarify in case you thought you were missing something here.
Yeah, Will is on one today. I'm going to say this in defense of Billy. All right, I'm going to say this one in defense of Billy. He can maybe become that. I don't think he's that right now. I think you've got guys like Patrick Mahomes, Joe Burrow, Josh Allen, and then maybe you can start talking about him. But even then, I'd still put probably Lamar ahead of him. I think there's other guys too that, look, it's hard to not look at the success that he's had and not look at the way he played in the Super Bowl. He was phenomenal. Like, without a doubt, he's phenomenal. And I've been a huge fan of his from the way he handled all that adversity to Alabama. He goes to Oklahoma. He gets better. He continually works, proves doubters wrong, proves people that, weren't taking notice of the strides that he was making and instead telling, people what he was or what he wasn't. And so I love that because I think he's like artificial intelligence. You read into all the stuff going on at Google and Microsoft, and like the more these, algorithms, like they tend to teach themselves, they get better and better and better and sharpen themselves. That's why I view him as a quarterback. So I think he has the capability of being that. I don't know that he's there yet. This deal obviously, doesn't put him in that conversation either. But I'm glad he got the deal done. I think the greater point about this deal is, and I wonder this, if he looked at the Lamar Jackson situation in Baltimore and said, yeah, I don't want to be that. Like, I'm willing to secure a 9-figure bag. And I realize that in 3 years, if I play the way I'm capable of, I'm going to restructure this. I'm going to be extended from this. And I'll be still competitive with the rest of the top quarterbacks in the league because the signing bonus isn't very competitive. If you look at, what he gets up front, the total at guarantee isn't overly competitive, right? Russell Wilson signed for more. Lamar Jackson was offered more. Obviously, Watson's ahead of that. I don't really look at a lot of other metrics past that. I think the average annual value is the stupidest thing that's put out there. It's dumb because it's a lot of fluff numbers in the back end of the deal. And either that player is going to be released because they're not playing up to the contract, or they're going to be restructured or extended, and that number is going to look different anyway.
And also, just as an add-on to that, sort of a corollary to that, when they do the average annual value, the way that it gets released and gets put out there, Billy, for instance, and this is not me ripping you. You sent a tweet that was like, here's the salary cap hit for Jalen Hurts for the next 4 years. Well, when the agent sends out and when the leak is out about the numbers that Jalen Hurts is getting on an average annual value, it doesn't factor in what he's going to get paid in 2023 because that would dramatically pull it down because he's getting the fourth year of his rookie contract. Now, right. If you do that, and that's how you should factor it in for a full extension. If it is an extension of the current contract, it should build in what you're being paid in 2023, which means the average would shrink tremendously. And this is where you hear dumb phrases like new money, Average annual value of the new money in Jalen Hurts' deal, which is specifically designed to circumvent the 2023 number that he's being paid, because it would make it look like he's making a lot less than the top quarterbacks who signed new contracts. And that's just, it's the fuzzy math that agents like to play, that players are willing to play along with, and that owners love that they do it, because it keeps them from actually getting meaningful changes to contracts, including fully guaranteed deals.
Right, which, look, there's not going to be a time where you get fully guaranteed deals, because there's not enough players who want to take a shorter-term deal. Like Lamar Jackson already, admittedly turned down a three-year, $133 million, which, in my opinion, I'm like, dude, take that. Take that deal 2 years from now. Guess what? They got a year left. They're still paying you a guaranteed, you know, dollar amount that they've got to extend you if you play the way I think we all think you're capable of. And by the way, that would have been a better deal than what Jalen Hurts signed for. So there's two things here. One, this isn't, you know, you can call it a bad deal, call it whatever you want. I'm not going to say that, because the reality is Jalen Hurts was just playing a Super Bowl. I don't think he wants the drama or to draw this out. He secured nine figures, which is generational changing money. And that's all that matters, right? Is if he feels good about the deal and he wants to move forward, so be it. You know, he's not the type of guy that draws a lot of drama along with things, right? And I think that's how he's conducted himself. So good for him, especially if he feels comfortable with it. But Will makes a lot of valid points. I mean, the two things I look at as a former player and even now as an analyst is you're looking at signing bonus and you're looking at the total guarantee at signing. You're not guaranteed anything else. And the team's really not on the hook for anything else other than those two things. So in this case, it doesn't even stack up against what Lamar admittedly had turned down, and obviously some of the other deals that are out there. So good for Howie Roseman being able to get his franchise quarterback under a long-term deal and not creating drama and getting him for what I think is potentially what could be a bargain, considering how good Jalen Hurts is. And it allows him to still keep this team together and constructing it together. Now, you know, we tweeted out, or Schefter tweeted out, and you showcased some of the cap hits. As I said to Will, I go, well, you're missing something, because you've got next year, which was his rookie deal, and then 3 years of a five-year extension. You're missing 2 years. Those cap hits have to be astronomical, because you still have to be able to add up to $255 million, which was what the total contract value was, in order to equate to the cap hits. So, again, just to further Will's point, it's all fluff. We want to make a big deal about this number, but as you see, look at the math. 2023, they already had cap plan. That's his rookie deal. 24, 25, 26. It doesn't add up to a substantial amount, and the cap hits have to be enormous. And so in 3 years from now, when the total guarantees are up and the team doesn't really, they're not on the hook for anything, they can make the evaluation of whether or not they want to restructure Jalen Hurts' deal and extend him with 2 years left, or they can move on if they want. And they're probably not going to be as much on the hook, because they're not paying out quite as much. Will, what do we got?
Well, I was just going to point out that I think it's very interesting to me, and this is just something you sort of notice anecdotally over, you know, covering the NFL for a decade plus as a national media member. No big deal. But in all seriousness, like, it's – so this contract, this news broke yesterday, right? You know, there's still no details about the full contract outside of stuff like this. It's like and when that happens – and I've been beating this drum, and I know he's already on a different team, so I don't want to be a jerk about it, but it's the same thing happened with the Saints. It happened with the Raiders with Derek Carr. This deal comes out, and you hear Derek Carr signed a five-year deal for $155 million with the Raiders. They found their guy. He's with Las Vegas forever. This is Josh McDaniels locking down his man. And then they cut him a year later because no one, and they waited for, at no point, not one single media member reported the fully guaranteed number in Derek Carr's contract to the Raiders. Not once. I kept asking, where is it? Why hasn't anyone reported this? Nobody in Vegas reported it. The agent and Derek Carr didn't want it to be out there, and the Raiders helped not put it out there. And I think it's very, very interesting to note that currently Jalen Hurts' contract is not filed with the NFL and the NFLPA system in terms of being like available and being put online. And what usually that means, if the contract, the full details of the contract have not been put out by PFT or put out by Over the Cap or SpotTrack or somebody within 24 hours of that deal being agreed to, that means there's going to be some fuzzy ass math on the back end there, and that Jalen Hurts' fully guaranteed money is not going to be nearly as high as we think, or it's going to be a situation where the Eagles, much like with Carson Wentz, will be able to finagle their way out of this contract if need be.
much like a peach, real fuzzy. You know, that's what we got going on.
Very fuzzy math, Brady. Very fuzzy.
A lot of fuzziness going on now. Kind of like your furry head. You've got a lot of hair going on right now, Will. You probably need a haircut, but look at that.
Wow.
Very, I mean, that's luxurious right now.
That's past fuzzy. That's just furry. I mean, that's you've basically become like a rodent at this point.
Well, I saw my parents this weekend, and
That didn't go over well. The hair didn't go over well.
I said, "Mom, I know it's long." She goes, "It looks great. I love it." My mom will lie about. Yeah, my mom's too nice. She's too nice to like. You know, like, "Mom, do I look fat?" "I think you look great, honey."
My mom's the exact opposite. So I'm glad someone's mom's nice to them.
Billy, anything else you want to say on the Hurts situation before we move on here?
I mean, you know, I think there's nothing wrong with putting him at two. You know,
yeah, yes, there's a lot wrong with putting him at two. It's a terrible take.
I don't think there's anything wrong with putting him at two.
Wait, what do you mean there's not anything wrong with him? You
put guys like Joe Burrow above him, and they don't have the same success that he's had. So
what are you talking about?
I don't understand.
What are you talking about?
He doesn't. Joe Burrow does not have an All-Pro.
You need to clarify that Jalen Hurts is a second-team All-Pro.
Okay,
dude, I understand. Do you think that, like, if you're ranking quarterbacks based entirely on their number of second-team All-Pros that they've achieved, then you are ipso facto doing it wrong, and you don't know ball. Like, what? Like Jalen Hurts does not have as much long-term success as Joe Burrow in terms of his performance at the NFL level. Jalen Hurts, as Brady points out, could he become the second-best quarterback in football? Sure. So could, like, Lamar Jackson could become the second best quarterback in football. It can happen to a lot of guys. Is he the second best quarterback in football? No. Joe Burrow, if you're drafting a team, do you believe that Jalen Hurts would go ahead of Joe Burrow?
Yeah, I would.
Well, I think he does. He definitely does.
I would take Jalen Hurts over all the younger quarterbacks right now, currently. I would take him over
Justin
Herbert. Take him over Trevor Lawrence. I would take him over
Josh
Allen. I would take him over all of those. So you would take him over Trevor Lawrence?
If I'm starting a team, I am definitely taking Trevor Lawrence over Jalen Hurts.
Exactly. And that's the issue. And that just proves to everybody that you don't know ball. Because why would you take a guy who hasn't done anything in the playoffs, who hasn't gone to a Super Bowl, who hasn't done anything in the league, but you wouldn't take the guy who's proven, who's gone to the playoffs his first year as a starter, who's gone to the Super Bowl in the second year as a starter, who's made an All-Pro?
Please clarify second team All Pro when you do that. Because yesterday you were like, does Josh Allen have an All Pro? I don't think so.
Talking about are not All Pros. So
okay, like, well, some of these quarterbacks, these names that you guys are throwing out, are obviously going to be winners of this Jalen Hurts deal as well. Because you think about Burrow and Herbert that are coming up on some contract extensions, Brady. Has this moved the needle for their deals? And do you think that $255 million is now considered the floor for these guys? You've said already you think Joe Burrow might be better than Jalen Hurts, or maybe you wouldn't rank him, you know, you'd rank him above him right now. Is Joe Burrow worth more money than this?
Yeah, I mean, look, as I said before, I think most Eagles fans, if there was a trade for Joe Burrow, Jalen Hurts, they'd probably take Joe Burrow, probably Josh Allen. You know, maybe then after that, maybe it stops. But maybe they take Lamar too. I don't know. I would say this though, because Hurts did his deal, I would expect a couple things. His total guarantees of signing will be higher. His signing bonus will be higher. And that's coming from an organization, by the way, that's considered, at least based on the Forbes list, to be the poorest in the NFL, valued at $3 billion based on last year's numbers. So I think Mike Brown and the Brown family will have to come up with the money to be able to satisfy Joe Burrow. From what I've been told, is he's not going to take a discount. And even though that, again, the Cincinnati Bengals are going to have to find some creative ways of coming up with the money to pay him what he feels like he deserves. So I think that the more interesting thing is going to be the timing of when he signs his deal. Is he going to be next up, or is it going to be Justin Herbert? And I think he's wise enough too to not care so much about that total number. I think he's going to care more about the actual financial commitment. And as I've said before too, you know, with Burrow, it could be a longer-term deal in order to reach that. And I'm not saying to the extent of Patrick Mahomes, but I could see the Bengals saying, like, yeah, we're going to put a huge number on this. I mean, what was Mahomes? $450 million or whatever it was reportedly over like a 10-year deal. I could see Burrow's being like six or seven. and that being structured in a way in which it forces the team to have to come back every 2 or 3 years and restructure because of those cap hits that are pushed to the back end in order to be able to make the deal that I think he needs. So bottom line is, whether it's Burrow or Herbert, both of them are going to be looking to eclipse this number. And I think they will go over that number as far as the total value of it, even though, as Will's pointed out, there's really not much value in what that total number is, because all these guys are going to end up, if they play the way we think they're going to, renegotiating that deal, you know, while they're still under contract.
By the way, I know that, you know, Billy likes to beat the drum of playoff success. As you can see, Joe Burrow, behind only Russell Wilson, tied with Ben Roethlisberger for most playoff wins, which you seem obsessed with, by a quarterback in his first three seasons. I would also add that Jalen Hurts started 15 games in 2021, and before this season, so I mean that makes him basically the starter because he started 15 games this year. Before this season, the entire world was asking, can Jalen Hurts win a playoff game? So I'm just saying, like, your little narrative that you like to fashion about Jalen Hurts is cute. And it's fun, but it's flimsy and transparent. And I see through it with these spectacles.
No, I mean, there was a lot of questions about Jalen, but I think for me,
I'm going to go back and find some of the questions you had about Jalen.
I won't lie about that. Like, especially when we drafted him, I was just confused as everybody else. You know, why are we drafting Jalen Hurts in the second? Why are we using the second round pick on Jalen Hurts? But I think, like, his progression and like you spoke to yesterday, how fast he's progressed in his 3 years in the league, and, you know, the success that he's had over the last 10 years of, you know, being a front-facing quarterback in football as a whole, and only being 24 years old. Like, I'm putting all that into my evaluation of why he is the second best quarterback. You know, we all look about potential and what guys can be in the future. And it's similar to Patrick Mahomes when he first came out and really started to put his stamp on the league. You know, it was like, oh, yeah, you know, this guy's really good. But, you know, where are we going to slot him? Is he top five and things of that nature?
Wait, did you say Mahomes?
He won MVP.
Mahomes threw for 50 touchdowns, 5,000 yards. Won MVP his first season starter. What? What?
Okay. I'm not all saying right, that they, we, I didn't say they were the same. I didn't say they were the same. I'm just
they're not the same.
Similar paths. They're on similar paths. That's all I'm saying.
All right, Billy on the island over there by himself. We're going to take a quick break here. But before we do you like soccer? Then check out CBS Sports Golazzo Network, the first of its kind free 24/7 channel dedicated exclusively to global soccer coverage. It's now streaming on the CBS Sports app, Pluto TV, and Paramount Plus. Get your morning started off on the right foot with Morning Footy, our weekday soccer culture-driven morning show beginning at 7 a.m. Eastern. Plus, don't miss the rest of our top-notch programming, including live matches and re-airs, original studio shows, highlights, documentaries, and much more. CBS Sports Golazzo Network, it's the ultimate year-round streaming destination for fans of the beautiful game. You're watching the Pick Six, and we'll be right back.
Get breaking news.
Big news coming out of the NFL today.
Highlights and instant reactions.
The largest final round comeback in four championship history. We're down to the final four.
I just want to take time to analyze greatness.
Chalk winners and losers with a guy who's already a big winner.
CBS Sports HQ. It's all sports all day long.
Robert Half research indicates 9 out of 10 hiring managers are having difficulty hiring. If you have open roles, chances are you're feeling this too. That's why you need Robert Half. Our specialized recruiting professionals engage with our proprietary AI to connect businesses of all sizes with highly skilled talent in finance and accounting, technology, marketing and creative, legal, and administrative and customer support. At Robert Half, we know talent. Visit roberthalf.com today.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Welcome back to Pick Six Podcast. Katie Mox here with Will Brinson and Brady Quinn. And one more thing on Jalen Hurts, and then we're going to put this to bed. And Billy, we're going to keep you off of this one. You talked, Brady, about Lamar Jackson and how he should have taken the deal. When you look at the two deals, what the Ravens had offered Lamar Jackson and, of course, what Jalen Hurts got. Now, the total value, $255 million, that's more for Jalen Hurts. But if you look at the guarantee, Jalen Hurts, $110 million, and Lamar, $133 million guaranteed. Do you think that this deal now hurts negotiations for Lamar Jackson moving forward?
No, I think it only further proves the point. He's not going to be able to get the deal he's looking for, a fully guaranteed deal. This is, I mean, maybe if Burrow surpasses it, then he tries to make a case for that because Lamar Jackson's been an MVP before and Burrow hasn't. But again, I think if you look at what Burrow's done, he's carried that teams at times. I mean, it's not that they're not talented. Don't get me wrong. Ja'Marr Chase and him have a great connection. You got T. Higgins. You got, obviously, Tyler Boyd, who's underrated. But the offensive line play hasn't been great. The defense has been getting better, but it's nowhere close to where the Eagles are, for example, which is a much more loaded roster. So the truth of the matter is, I think, you know, the Jalen Hurts deal, I think only further proves that Lamar has been offered, I don't know if you call it a fair deal, I think there's a lot of people out there who feel like he should surpass the Sean Watson because of what the Browns decided to do. But that's an outlier. Like, you're not going to see that from any other organization that's willing to do that. So at this point, I think, again, it was a good deal. I'm not sure if he goes back to the negotiation table with Baltimore now and tries to find a long-term extension. He's probably going to wait till after the draft to see if there's anyone who submits an offer sheet. But I think we'll wait and see what Herbert does and Burrow does. But those numbers will be better than the Hurts deal. But again, I don't know exactly if they're going to come close to the fully guaranteed deal that Watson got.
I cannot believe nobody caught, does this Hurts? Does this new deal hurt? There's a Hurts. There's a free pun there. It definitely hurts Lamar Jackson because as Brady points out, like this is, you're gonna get Burrow, you're gonna get Herbert, all these guys. Like, I agree with you, Brady. Burrow's not gonna take a big discount. However, he's also not gonna be like, I want a fully guaranteed contract. He's got an agent. That agent is gonna figure out a way to get him some sort of benchmark, whether it's most new money.
Well, hold on. And here's the reason why, right? It can't be a fully guaranteed deal for that amount because the Brown family doesn't have that sort of cash. They're going to have to put that in escrow, right? Correct. They don't have that amount. And that's going to be one of the biggest things standing in the way of how much total guarantee at signing he's able to even sign for.
Yeah, absolutely. No, I mean, absolutely. And a hair of a golden girl. What's happening?
You're Blanche. If I had to pick a golden girl, you would be Blanche.
Which one? Was Blanche the hot one?
Blanche is the hot one that has the most hair.
Yeah. It's always funny that we categorize it too as Blanche being the hot one, where you're like, well, they're older. Was there a hot one? Like, can I say that as someone way younger?
I was actually doing some research into this recently. I actually kind of like the way my hair looks now. It's outrageous. And apparently the goal of the casting for Golden Girls, they wanted to have older women playing younger women to make them look that much older. Better. Or is it the other way around? Younger women playing older women. It's
probably
one of those things.
Younger women playing older women. Hollywood. Yeah.
I mean, like, obviously the, what was the grandmother's name?
Dorothy was woman, her daughter.
Yeah. It's a woman. You're supposed to know this, not Brady and I think that's
I know. They, I know.
I'm kidding. I love Golden Girls. But no, there's something about the casting where they wanted to purposely create like a 10-year gap between. There you go. Yeah.
Oh, my God. Dominic knows everything. Blanche was the youngest by 12 years, then Sophia, then Dorothy, and then Betty White was the oldest and lived the longest.
Yes. So it was a purposeful casting decision in order to. Brady still waiting on his Brinson sucks hat. There we go. All right. Anyway, what's next? Let's talk about some other stuff.
All right. What's next is the best part of the show always when we discuss the San Francisco 49ers and Brock Turdy. He sat down with Yahoo to discuss his return timeline.
Did you say Brock Turdy? Is that what you just said?
I said Brock Purdy. Did I say?
I sound like Turdy. It at least came in my ear. Is that what you heard, Will?
I think you called him Brock Turdy.
No, I don't think so.
Did you say a new nickname for Brock? Is that what you're calling him, Brock Turdy now?
Oh no!
Rock? You called him? You called him Rock Turdy? That's disgusting.
I could tell you have a young son there, Will Brunson. Yes. All right, Brock.
Punched me in the nuts 42 times this past weekend. So that was exciting.
Wow. Maybe that's why your hair looks like that.
Checks out.
Yeah, checks out. Okay, anyways, Brock Purdy sat down with Yahoo to discuss his return timeline. When asked if he will play at one point, he said, not really sure. So obviously, there's always questions around the quarterbacks with the 49ers. We got Brock Purdy. You have Trey Lance. Now we don't know if Brock Purdy is going to return. I don't know what else he could have said because there's so many things going into it. You got Trey Lance, who is the number three pick overall a couple years ago. He's returning, getting back to his form. And then you got Brock Purdy. Then now we have Sam Darnold as well. So if you look at the San Francisco 49ers futures, they haven't really changed. Niners are second on the odds board to win the Super Bowl, plus 700. They're the favorite to take the NFC at plus 320, minus 150 to take the NFC West again. Tied for the highest win total at 11.5. Brady, do you think that this affects the odds for the 49ers? I mean, I know that you're not super high on Brock Purdy already. Do you prefer Trey Lance? Do you think the Niners have the...
Let me put it this way, all right? You're misquoting this. Brock Purdy started how many games in his career? Like, all I'm saying is, can you
pump the brakes?
Like, let him play more. Let him continue to develop. Let defenses see him and then adjust to what he does or doesn't do well, right? That's all I'm saying. All right. Let's calm down the fandom, the bias, and let's set it aside. And let's analyze this. Okay. It's not that I'm not a fan of him. I got a chance to follow him in college football for a long period of time. He was a great leader, did a lot of things well, and really, I think, helped raise the level of play of the guys around him. But he's on a really, really talented team. Like we're talking about Hurts earlier, who might be on the most talented roster or one of the most talented. San Francisco is right there sitting behind them then. So it's a little easier for a quarterback to operate when you've got a number one defense, a lot of all pros around you, and you've got one of the best player calls in Kyle Shanahan. So let's pump the brakes. And then the other thing is, Trey Lance, you gave up so much for him.
I know.
If Brock Purdy's admitting right now that he might not be healthy for the beginning of the season, may miss the entire season, he's obviously only saying what like anyone would say at this point. It's too early to know where he's at in his rehab and his progress. So we have to look at this season and say, if he's not ready by the beginning of training camp, Trey Lance has to be the guy. And you basically brought in Sam Darnold as insurance, a guy who's been successful, at least, or I should say has experience. And he could be successful in Kyle Shanahan's system because he can make a stud out of most guys. And obviously, Sam Darnold does have talent and ability. Otherwise, he wouldn't have been drafted where he was drafted, and he wouldn't have been sought after by Carolina and now obviously San Francisco. So, this is a team that I think it probably will be Lance because of the rehab and how long it's going to take Brock to get back. And then it's going to come down to if Lance is healthy, how is he playing, whether or not Brock then gets that next shot when he is healthy and ready to be back. But it's definitely something to monitor. And I think I'd be concerned as a San Francisco 49er fan, especially if you're a Brock Purdy fan. If you think he is indeed the best guy, you should be concerned if he's already admitting right now in April that he might miss the entirety of the season or that's even in play at this point in time.
Yeah. I mean, when he got hurt, the injury was thought to be a possible
Tommy John surgery. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, that's just, it could be season ending. I think, we got the odds for Pro Football Championship winner of the Super Bowl. They say you can't put the Super Bowl in the head, the top header, but don't worry about the bottom, the next one. Super Bowl 58, 2024 winner. It's just a situation where, like, to me, it's crazy that San Francisco is 7-1 and the second highest favorite, given just the uncertainties at that position.
I agree. And I think as a 49ers fan and as a Brock Purdy fan, I am definitely concerned about this, but there is still hope that he could be playing week one. I know that he's saying he's not sure, but to your point, Brady, I don't know what else he could say at this point. He obviously has to heal. And then there's the other quarterbacks that are swirling around. So I think he said what he had to say. I mean, he said he's hopeful to come back. He's ready to start throwing again, but it's hard to say. But I do think that 7-1 to win the Super Bowl, not knowing who the quarterback is, and to win the NFC is probably, I don't think, even as a 49ers fan, I know that I'm a homer, not maybe as much as Billy is. I don't know that I would take, I don't know that I would take those bets. Yeah.
I mean, like if Trey Lance comes out and looks like an MVP caliber player, which is asking a lot out of him, even though we don't know what he could be, like, they're still not going to dip that far below 7-1. I mean, like, yeah, it's outrageous.
Well, and the other thing is, like, look at who they're up against as far as those odds. Obviously, Kansas City's ahead of them. I think you'd say, look, between the question mark at the quarterback spot for San Francisco and the Kansas City Chiefs led by Mahomes, you probably side on Mahomes being a safer bet at this point. You could probably do the same thing with Buffalo, maybe even the same thing with Philly, given, again, not the same concerns that you've got in San Francisco. So I'm not trying to be a downer on 49ers fans. I think Kyle Shanahan does as much as anyone to raise the level of play of whoever's playing quarterback. But that's a big question mark when you're talking about, arguably, as we just debated about for about 20 minutes, you know, what, three of the top five, top four quarterbacks in the league that you're looking at the odds of going up against, and they play the biggest factor on it. So, look, and by the way, as far as Purdy goes and what he said, even if that's like a possibility, I don't know that you need to like throw that out there. Like, hey, I might miss the entire 2023 season, unless you're kind of building things back up to be this like heroic return. Like, kind of, I'm trying to think of who, like LeBron, for example, the ankle injury that no one besides him, based on what everyone had said, all the, you know, medical doctors, could come back and heal as fast as he did to make it in time to come back at the end of the season and now the playoffs for the Lakers. So maybe that's what he's setting him up for, you know, this like really special superpower, healing power that he has to come back and be the guy.
A 49ers fan would eat that up with a spoon.
And by the way, the odds you're seeing with Philadelphia and San Francisco are not even about like Jalen Hurts being wherever BBT thinks he is in the quarterback pantheon, or even the 49ers, like, people are like, oh, they got an incredible roster, Trey Lance is great. It's almost strictly about the fact that the NFC is so watered down right now, the way that we perceive it generally, that there's like two good teams or two really good rosters, and then it's like the Lions. Okay.
Yeah.
You know, and so like that's a large part of what's factoring into these championship odds.
I feel like the books are factoring in like Purdy is going to start with these odds, because if it's Trey Lance, you have to think that you're going to take a step back a little bit.
No. If Trey Lance were out for the season with UCL surgery and Brock Purdy was the week one starter and coming off an injury that he suffered in the second week of the season, the Niners would be like 10-1. I think this is factoring in Trey Lance making a leap in Kyle Shanahan's system in a really bad NFC, personally. I mean, like the Rams just traded Allen Robinson. The Cardinals might be tanking. And the Seahawks are, you know, hitching their wagon to the Geno, or they're hitching their whatever. Geno Smith is
wagon involved. To Geno Smith. Yeah, I get what you're saying.
I was going to call them the Geno wagon, but they hitched a wagon to the G. You can't hitch one wagon to another wagon and expect to have.
I mean, technically, you can say just hitch it to the G wagon. That is an actual call.
Yeah.
Is that a? Can one. I say that? Oh, you mean like the nice Mercedes cars?
Yes.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. Yes. Well, on that note, we're going to take a quick break. G-Wagon was one of my – I don't think they make G-Wagons anymore, do they?
Yeah.
They've
only gotten more expensive. They actually come out with an electric one, which everyone is, by the way. Not that it's, you know, profitable or anything like that, but we're all coming out with the EVs.
Okay. On that G-Wagon note, we're going to take a quick break and watch the Pick 6 podcast. We'll be right back.
Phenomenal! Absolutely magisterial here!
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Welcome out to Pick Six. Follow us on social if you're not already at Pick Six Pod across all social media platforms. All right, we've talked about quarterbacks already in the league. Let's talk about some prospects. Brady, Bryce Young canceling draft visits. We talked about this a little bit yesterday, but what is your thought? Good idea, or should he continue to go through the process?
It just kind of leads me to think that he's already in conversations with the Carolina Panthers as a number one overall pick. That's the only reason for this, you know, because obviously when it gets out publicly, it's not a great look. But if you're already in negotiations and they're going to select you number one overall, this is the step that you take, at least as a player. There's no point in distracting yourself or traveling and putting yourself through that when that's not even a possibility. And so he's the heavy favorite as of now. Those odds have dramatically flipped. We know that. It also reminds me of when Joe Burrow was coming out and he was viewed as number one overall, and the Bengals were basically giving him their playbook along the course of the way because they knew they were going to take him. So very similar scenario here. That's essentially what's happened. And this has always been the case. You know, I remember in my draft, you know, the first contract that was thrown out was offered to Jamarcus Russell, obviously, who ended up going number one overall in my draft class, Calvin Johnson, myself, and someone else. And it was a very vague kind of boilerplate, really like not much going on in the contract. And my agent, Tom Connor, at the time was like, yeah, we're not even going to really entertain this because it's too vague. There's nothing really to take from that. Obviously, you know, Jamarcus ended up being the selection at that spot, but there was still, I guess, maybe some doubt in their minds as to what direction that they wanted to go. And they were starting some of those negotiations before that. So this isn't unfamiliar. The only unfamiliar thing is that this becomes public that he's going to be canceling all this at this point, given he's met with the number one, number two teams in the draft in Carolina and Houston, and then also Las Vegas. And outside of that, no one else yet. But it makes a lot of sense.
Would guess it was either Joe Thomas or Adrian Peterson who got that. That seems like a very Raiders thing to do, to lob out a boilerplate contract to like you, Jam Jam, Calvin Johnson, and one of the, and like AP or Joe Thomas. Like, who wants, is anybody want to take this low hanging fruit, like really crappy contract?
I mean, that was it. They would get him at a discount. Also, two guys getting $20 million.
Al Davis of him.
It was. I can't remember who the fourth person was. Maybe it was Joe T. Or potentially, I'm trying to think, Gaines Adams was in that draft.
Gaines Adams, Levi Brown, yep. Ron Landry.
Yeah.
Patrick Willis, beast mode. God, I love this draft. Revis.
I know. We had some
stuff. Lawrence Tammins.
Anyway, the whole point is like that's pretty typical. There start to be those discussions. That was obviously leading up to the draft, like the week of. This is a bit premature, but it just goes to show you they've made their mind up. That's who they're going to take, and obviously they want to hit the ground running with him, and rightfully so. That's the best way to do it.
Do you know the people that were drafted immediately before and immediately after you? Like that's just this is just like a. I'm curious, like if you know the trivia of it.
Immediately after me would have been Dwayne Bowe.
Yep.
Ding ding ding. Because.
Did you complete passes to him at some point?
Yeah. When I was there, he got ended up getting hurt because we used him as backside cutoff on an outside zone play, which is, you know, something you probably shouldn't do with your number one receiver.
Who's the coach then?
I'm not going to name names. You can probably figure that out. But anyway, we were actually in Cleveland where that happened. I remember very early in the game, which that whole game plan throwing the football was like based around Dwayne. And once he got knocked out, I was like, okay, now we're in some trouble here because we don't really have much depth there to be able to, you know, put someone in that role to really do much. But anyway, Dwayne was after me. I can't remember who was before me at 21.
The answer.
Who is it?
Reggie Nelson, safety out of Florida. Drafted by the Jaguars. Yeah. I was going to ask you, too, because I mentioned this yesterday with the Bryce Young stuff. And you played for several NFL teams in your career. Do you think that, like signed on as a free agent, do you think that Bryce Young may be doing himself a little disservice by not being able to get to know GMs, other organizations, et cetera? And like, you never want to think, oh, it might not work out. But if it doesn't work out with him in Carolina, ostensibly, or Houston, you know, is it a thing where, you know, you would have liked to go and meet with Seattle and, you know, you get time with Pete, or, you know, whatever the case may be. I mean, does that hold weight at all?
I don't think so. They're going to evaluate the film. That's going to be the biggest thing that you take away from all this. And, you know, they're going to make their decision and their grades largely based off that. I think they've got some idea based on the testing and other things they have access to get a thought and at least have a baseline. And from all accounts, I mean, everyone loves this guy and that's been my impression of him. So I personally don't think it's going to impact him down the road. I mean, ideally, he's in Carolina for the next decade plus, right, as their franchise quarterback. So I don't think he's thinking that way. And I don't think other teams, you know, if he hits the market, obviously, you're going back and reevaluating things. But, you know, obviously, maybe durability is a concern then, because I can't see him going to the NFL and his game not, you know, transitioning well based on how he's played so far in college.
Yeah, and if he becomes a free agent, it means like something has happened that's not – didn't work out well with Carolina. And so it's not like you're going to be like clamoring over everybody to try to go get him necessarily.
Exactly. Exactly.
Well, CJ Stroud also dropped in the odds boards. He was the favorite to be the number one overall. Now Bryce Young -1200, CJ Stroud +650. What do you make of this?
Well, I would just say that Bryce Young yesterday was -1000, now -1200, was -300 on Sunday. It's almost entirely based on, again, I say this every day, we talk about draft odds. These are reactionary markets. They are listening to what rumors are, what speculation is, what people, and then people betting into that rumors and speculation and moving, adjusting the odds accordingly. And on Monday, you had a bunch of different nuggets, whether it's in Peter King's column, Albert Breer's column. Those are two that generally get aggregated the most and get spun out into the gambling Twitter sphere. And as we're like talking about how Bryce Young is sort of the guy, Bryce Young cancels the visits. They're trying to build a price that people won't bet into Bryce Young at first overall because the exposure is there. And at -1200, you're getting pretty close to it because you have to put down $1,200 to win 100. We've passed the point of that's a good investment because we are still well over a week away and a lot can change in that time. So like you'd rather bet -2000 on the day of the draft, knowing with 100% certainty it's going to be Bryce Young, than -1200 10 days before the draft, when you could put down $1,200 and like all of a sudden we get that tweet where it's like Will Levis is the object of the Panthers' affection. And all of a sudden you're really peeing your pants.
Yeah, I agreed on that. I think the question that Katie's trying to go after right now is CJ Stroud and not necessarily where he goes the first overall pick, but some concern or thought that he might drop in the draft. If Houston passes on him at number two or no one trades up with Houston to take them, where does he end up going? And the interesting thing about that is I think there's a few things you could point to as some concerns that teams have. The first is, you know, his accuracy and obviously his level of play adjusted when he was under pressure. You know, it wasn't the same number, same output that we saw. You'd expect that, but he had a much more dramatic drop off through the course of his career when he was under pressure, under duress, as compared to when he was playing from a clean pocket. And so you might want to try to draw some conclusions from that. However, that being said, he saved his best game for last, played great under pressure versus Georgia. And so you're probably contemplating, is it the body of work or is his ability and what he will be what we saw versus Georgia? The other thing is everyone always talks about it, the talent he's throwing to, the system that he's in. A lot of quarterbacks have put up stats and good numbers in Ryan Day's system. Great offensive line that's going to have one tackle, maybe both drafted in the first round, three of his offensive linemen drafted. So there's a lot of thought that he played with a lot of talent and maybe that, you know, played a role in it as well. And then there's some other stuff about interviews and maybe, you know, for example, the Manning Passing Academy, I'd been told that, you know, he committed to it the night before, just kind of ghosted him, didn't show up. That's football royalty. And when you do that, that's going to kind of set off some alarms for people of like, hey, man, that's not how you conduct yourself, especially around the Manning family or just in general, if you're going to be a franchise quarterback. So, look, I still view him as the second quarterback that should be taken in this draft class. He's the most accurate quarterback in this draft class. He showcased the athleticism and ability. Anytime I've been around the kid, he's been an upstanding young man who's grown and matured into the leader that I think NFL teams are looking for. So, you know, some of that stuff. And as far as the system he plays and all the talent he plays around, he can't help that. He just can deliver the ball like he has and put up the numbers that he did. So I think he'll be the number two quarterback taken, but there is some talk right now, and maybe it's smoke screens, who knows, that maybe some of the other teams are saying, well, wait a second, if Richardson has a higher ceiling, maybe he makes more sense for us to take if we can't have a guy like Bryce Young that we feel more confident about in his processing and decision-making.
Yeah. What advice or words of wisdom would you give for young quarterbacks who are getting drafted? Because you kind of touched on it a little bit right there with like refusing to meet with the Mannings and that kind of stuff. Like what would you say to these guys who are entering, who are about to get drafted?
The big thing is don't concern yourself with where you get drafted. Like there's so many things that are out of your control. So the key is really just understand it's a starting point. That's all it is. And focus on trying to be as best as you can, learning the system as soon as possible and going from there. You know, obviously not all organizations are run the same or built the same. Some quarterbacks can get drafted into better circumstances and teams that are willing to work with their skill set and give them the time and patience to become what they're capable of becoming. You know, I always use that Buffalo Bills and the way they were patient with Josh Allen to really see what he was capable of. You know, I remember people talking about his inaccuracies coming out of Wyoming. You know, they knew the raw ability, the big arm, bigger kid, great athlete. But, you know, the first couple of years in the league, all you heard was, oh, he's inaccurate. He's inaccurate. And I don't remember getting a chance to call some of those games for Fox. And I was watching the tape going, dude, he's not inaccurate. These balls are bouncing off guys' hands, shoulders. He's got so much zip on them. And at the time, there wasn't much separation from some of the receivers. He was still kind of becoming more comfortable with the system. And then in year three, they get him Stephon Diggs. It's his third year, which is really when you see what a quarterback's capable of. Year one, you're learning your offense. You're learning all your stuff. Year two, you're really solidified there, learning what the defense can do. Year three, you put it all together. You go out there and play. And you see what you're really capable of. And that's what we saw from Josh Allen. He took that meteoric jump to now we view him as one of the best quarterbacks in the league. The problem is not many organizations are going to give you the same offensive coordinator for 3 years. Stability and build and go after a Stephon Diggs is one of the best receivers in the league. Not many organizations are going to do that. And so that's the problem is a Will Levis, Anthony Richardson, guys that need time to develop. Will they have time to? Will the organization do everything they can to put them in a position to succeed? Those are all the questions. And those are honestly paramount to anything else. The ability, all these guys have NFL ability. Every one of these players out there, more often than not, an organization F's it up. And that's just the truth. It's no different than being a part of a bad company or a bad organization. You know, the difference is, you know, you don't have control, you know, over a lot once you're under contract. You really have to create a stir or a fuss in order to be able to get out once you realize it's a bad situation. And a lot of other jobs, you go job hunting. You're just like, yeah, putting in my resignation, I'm out of here. I'm going elsewhere to a better opportunity with a better organizational structure, or better ownership.
Wise words from Brady Quinn, our quarterback.
From the world of Sonic the Hedgehog, a new hero arrives.
I am
ready. Is there anyone stronger?
No.
Tougher?
No.
Funnier?
I do not make jokes. I make warriors.
Knuckles, now streaming only on Paramount+.
Yes!